Do you have a Bible here this morning? Very good. Well, indeed, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I have before historically preached on St. Valentine's, the widely recognized 3rd century Roman saint. Not going to do that again today. If you want to hear that, you can go and find our podcast, I think from a year ago, on our website. But he was quite a story there, and so recommend that to you. But it is interesting and fun how Valentine's Day fell on Sunday this year. I think it's just fun when it intersects that way. The next time Valentine's Day will intersect or fall on a Sunday is the year 2021, and then after that, 2027, followed by 2038, and then 2044, and then 2049. So it doesn't come around, you know, every 5 minutes. So when those two moments intersect, I like it because God is the great romantic. He is the one who is the pure definition of love. The word is used a lot in pop culture. It's in a lot of our songs, especially country songs. I've never in my born days laughed so hard. You know, I brought my queen home to my king size bed. I mean, all the stuff and the picture of love, you know. And but we do actually have some great definition in the classic 1 Corinthians 13. It actually defines it and breaks it open, you know, about how love is patient. It's not rude or self-seeking, and it doesn't boast. I mean, these are tangible, concrete definitions that give us an understanding of what God's love truly is versus just creating our own definition. It's similar how people will sometimes justify themselves and they'll say, I know my truth. Well, is your truth the truth? And so when we talk about love, again, I think boundaries are good. But just falling on this day on Sunday, I think it's great because we get to tie it into God, who's the author of love. He is love. And so part of our quest as believers and part of our journey is learning about this love, discovering this love. We had some measure of understanding at salvation. At conversion, or we probably would not have come to him, but that was not the end of anything. That was just the introduction into this grace in which we stand. That's when he said, hello, Mr. Jesus, my name is. And yes, I want in. I want to be a part of the family. Would you forgive me and accept me? I declare that you're Lord of my life. So there's a measure of his love that we understand, but we have a whole lifetime of discovering it while we're on the earth, 70, 80, 90 plus years, whatever, then in eternity, we're still going to be impacting the Father's love. And so it is truly inexhaustible. So here we are today, Valentine's Day. Now, oddly enough today, I want to entitle this, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. And a couple of snickers here. You can throw up the image. Most of y'all are familiar with the romantic comedy. Don't leave it up there too long. All right, you can take it off. All right, very good. So, most of you, how many of y'all have seen that film by chance? Came out, I think, in 2003 with Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson. And Hudson, who in the movie is Andy, she's a writer for this. It's not a very heavy, deep, and real magazine. It's Composure. They don't really write about weighty issues of life. It's more colors and fashion and shoes, and nothing wrong with that. We love that, but it's not always what makes the world go round. But she's kind of the how-to writer for this magazine that has frivolous topics. But there's one scenario in hopes of bailing out a friend. She volunteers to write a how-to piece entitled How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, using supposedly the classic mistakes that women would make. And then on the other hand, you have Matthew McConaughey, who in the film is Ben. Now, the stock of this movie is going to go up today. Everybody's going to go home and, you know, Netflix or get on Amazon. But anyway, McConaughey, on the other hand, he's an advertising executive, and he makes a bet with his colleagues and more in particular his boss that he could make any woman fall in love with him before the upcoming company ball in just 10 days. The ball's coming up in 10 days, and so he's trying to make the case that as they are being entertained by this huge diamond company, that he ought to be the one to make the pitch for his advertising firm because he understands women and he understands love. And they began to kind of banter back and forth and challenge it and push that back. And so the bet again was, I do understand love, and I bet I could make someone fall in love with me. And they said, well, if you can do it, his boss said, before our company ball, then we'll give the advertising contract to you. You can be the one to make the pitch for this diamond company. So after Hudson meets McConaughey, she is charming for about maybe just a few hours only. And then she morphs into this codependent, clingy, demanding, obsessive, insecure, odd mixture of cute yet monster at the same time. Her attempts to drive him away are overt, crazy, wacky, and to be honest, it's almost kind of painful to watch. I mean, she does such far-fetched things. It's like nails on a chalkboard. I mean, it's just awkward on steroids. And so anyway, the amazing thing, however, is that no matter how hard she tries, he will not give up on her. And she cannot drive him away. Cannot. One time I heard, this was maybe about a year and a half ago, former President George W. Bush, speaking of his daughters, actually speaking to his daughters back when they were teenagers and a tad on the wild side, Jenna in particular, he told them, he sat them down, he said, girls, there is nothing that you could ever do that would cause me to stop loving you. Then he said, now listen, now stop trying. Now stop trying. There's nothing you could ever do that would cause Dad to stop loving you, okay? Now stop trying. Love that. Back to McConaughey. He will not give up on her, and she cannot drive him away. He will not give up on her, and she cannot drive him away regardless. He is determined to win her over. He is determined to keep pursuing. He is determined to win her affection. Sound like anyone you know. The persistence, the admirable qualities. Is there anyone we know that we can truly say has unrelenting passion and love? Unfailing love. Anyone we know? She was determined to break him. She was determined to drive him away. She was determined to foul out, turn him off, gross him out, irritate him, nag him, revulse him, and come off as unattractive as possible. Yet he pursued her still. Yes, for him, it started off as a bet, but things changed, and he fell for her, warts and all. Against logic, he pursued her. Against logic. And of course, you can see where this is going. With God, instead of how to lose a guy in 10 days, it's more how the holy, due to love, died for the profane. We certainly have tried to make God back off, but he just won't. He's unrelenting. His love is unrelenting in spite of our condition. And even because of our condition, he actually has compassion on us. He actually feels for us. He's actually motivated towards us, who would think, and pursues again and again, and woos again and again, and begins again when we've walked away. Begin, he comes back again. If he ever chose to stop the chase, y'all realize we're up a creek? If he ever said, that's it. That's, I mean, that we would be up a creek. If he chose to get legal on us, we're done. You know, the psalmist cried out in Psalm 130. He said, Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who could stand? If he got legal on us. But he has enough love for all of us, all the time, never drying up, unconditional, unending. So the ball is in our court. All of humanity must respond one way or another. God is love. God is love. Many, however, are living the life and playing out how to lose God in 10 days or 10 months or 10 years, 10 decades. It doesn't intimidate God nor diminish his affection, though try we do at times. Again, I love what Bush said. Nothing you could ever do would keep me from loving you. So stop trying. People are trying all the time because they don't know how to manage certain pain and issues that result in unhealed wounds and bitterness. They're not quite sure what to do with it. And so there's got to be an expression of a revolt. I get tickled. Even atheists that, quote, don't believe in God get mad at God. Isn't that illogical? You don't believe in him, but you're mad at him. Let's try to get a little bit academic about it here, just to make some sense of it, you see. But again, people don't know what to do with their pain. They have perplexing situations. And sometimes people just try to lose God, as it were. New Age atheist Shirley MacLaine, in the 1979 movie Out on a Limb, ends the movie by standing on a beach in the Pacific Ocean, declaring with her arms outstretched, I am God. And her contemporary would say louder, I am God. I am God. Now, thank God that he's not so insecure that he just had to just nuke her and just light up the sand right there. You know, but it is kind of, you know, funny. You can imagine from God's vantage point, you know, God dwells in a high and lofty place, but also with those that are lowly and contrite of heart. But can you imagine God in that high and lofty place looking down and on that beach, you know, is this little lady, I am God. I mean, just that little, you know, I am God, you know. And there are people all the time that challenge God. If there's a God in heaven, let him strike me. As if God's so nervous, you know, well, I guess I have to call him out. You know, just no security, no composure, no, you know, identity, self-awareness of who you are. And so I guess, well, he drew a line in the sand. I guess I have to flex my muscle. Thank God that he's secure enough not to call our bluff. And he loves us enough to be patient and long-suffering, not to call our bluff, thank God. So even though she's out there declaring, I am God in the name of reincarnation, it's a little bit odd. Don't look at that either. But at any rate, he wasn't threatened is the point. God is not threatened. He loves her still. Ricky Gervais, the British actor, with all of his vulgarity as he hosts the Golden Globes from time to time, and you think he just can't ratchet up any worse, and they invite him back due to ratings. But as he hosted the 2011 Golden Globes and signs off by thanking the foreign press and others, then he mockingly concludes, and I want to thank God for making me an atheist. Good night, everyone. And God's not threatened. God's not going to blow up like a toad. Did y'all see the debates last night? Dear me. He's been taking a punch from thousands and thousands of years of humanity. He's secure. He's not threatened. And he still loves this guy. He still loves this guy. On March 4th, 1966, an article appeared in the London Evening Standard where Beatle John Lennon said, quote, Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right. And I'll be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus. God loves him still. Not threatened. Secure on the throne. The psalm says, though the nations plot in vain, God who sits in heaven, he laughs, for he set his king on his holy hill. They say, let us break off his fetters and throw off his chain. Let us throw off restraint. You know, he's patient. secure. The French infidel, Voltaire, who died in 1778, predicted that Christianity would be extinct within 100 years of his time. But instead, within 50 years of his death, the Geneva Bible Society used his home and printing presses to print copies of the Bible that would go around the globe. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. The God who sits in heaven laughs. You know, there is no God. He's kind of, we'll see. I'm not going to strike you, but we'll see. We'll see. He's got a sense of humor. Out of that very home, those very printing presses begins to export scripture around the globe. Love it. German philosopher Nietzsche famously declared in 1882 that God is dead. God's not nervous. He goes, no, Nietzsche, you're dead. Of course, we got a great movie coming out, God's Not Dead. Matter of fact, our own Rice Brooks, co-founder of our ministry, you're going to see him showcased a lot. He'll have a cameo appearance in the movie. We'll go as a church. I don't know if we'll rent a theater or whatever, but I encourage you to take people. It's going to be absolutely amazing. The first one was good. The second one is exceptional. It's really incredible. But anyway, he's the one who wrote the book, The Apologetic, God's Not Dead. Great book. The Newsboys, as you know, crafted the song. Great song. But anyway, that's our own Rice Brooks, just homeboy here. So at any rate, God wasn't threatened by the philosophers. Where are the philosophers? Where are the scholars of this age? God inquires, where are they? Because he's going to make foolish the wisdom of this world. He's going to take his mysteries and reveal them to babes. Where's the scholar? Where's the debater? Where's the wise man of this age? Let them come with their arguments. I love Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together. God's not insecure. It's not like, oh gosh, I hope you don't stump him. Have you ever watched something where someone is, you know, under fire or taking questions, maybe in a debate? It's like, oh, I hope they don't throw that question. Oh, I hope they don't use that zinger because they'll be like a deer in the headlight. You know, God's totally secure. Come, let us reason together. Go ahead, shoot your best shot. What you got? Well, if God can do anything, can he make a rock so big he can't lift it? Or, you know, there's all these things that people just, they think, I've got him now. As if someone can't answer that question, then I have license not to serve him. You couldn't answer my question, so therefore I can just do whatever I want to do because you couldn't have it. Or what about all the hypocrites in the church? Or what about the Crusades or the Inquisition? And you know what? I know someone who calls himself a Christian. They're a hypocrite. All right, using that logic. So based on that, you're going to deny the grace of God, go to hell, and spend eternity with all those hypocrites you declare you hate. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You see, God's not miffed. He's patient and long-suffering on this Valentine's Day due to love, not desiring that any perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So grateful for that. He strives with our heart. I don't know about you, but he strove with me. We wrestled. Of course, just even the notion of wrestling with God is just Makes no sense. God wins. But he woos by his love and he draws. He's long-suffering. He's so patient. So, how to lose a guy in 10 days? Well, what about God? Nonetheless, against the backdrop of these and a multitude of other quotes and attacks and mockery, I love how Romans 5:8 declares, while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Wasn't lip service. God demonstrated his love for us. And while Hudson, Andy in the movie, was still acting like a goon, I mean, McConaughey is still pursuing her, still pursuing her. God, due to love, to me, does the illogical, counterintuitive thing when it comes to mankind. I mean, you read his history with Israel. They mocked him, left him. You know, he would bless them. They'd get puffed up, forget God. He'd have to deal with them, you know. Then he'd bless them. They'd get puffed up, forget God. He'd have to deal with them. And after a while, I'd say enough already. You know, but just that long-suffering nature of God. I mean, unfailing love means just that. It just won't fail. That's another definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love, it hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You ever heard of the phrase, kill them with kindness? You're in a situation at work or at school, you know. People don't know how to react to that. It breaks down defenses, you see. If we fight fire with fire, we get more fire. You can't cast out the devil with the devil, although we try, you see. We move in an opposite spirit. But it's as if God does the illogical thing, the counterintuitive thing. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. There's got to be some love up in there. I mean, maybe somebody will die for a righteous man. Maybe, maybe. Probably lip service, maybe. But he dies for the unjust. The just for the unjust. I referenced earlier Psalm 130. Reading that in the Message translation, Psalm 133 through 4. Here Eugene Peterson says, if you, God, kept records on wrongdoings, who could stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit. And that's why you are worshipped. Oh, I love that. Forgiveness is your habit. Is it your habit? Is it my habit? That trust, that love, that high road, that truth and reality is what conquered the woman caught in adultery. That's what captivated Mary Magdalene, whereas she stood with him at the cross. It's what inspired Zacchaeus to radically change and repay four times those he had stolen from, to give half of his possessions away. It's this kind of radical love. It's unfailing love that reinstated Peter after his multiple failings and denial of Jesus and created a leader of leaders. Love did that. It wasn't Peter. It's not like on this rock on Peter. I mean, Peter couldn't hold his own life together. He couldn't balance his own checkbook. But on the rock of Revelation, I'm gonna use you in spite of you. Love reinstates us. And aren't you so glad? He who has forgiven much loves much. If we're not loving large, maybe we haven't been forgiven largely. So we think. But when we realize I'm a debtor, I'm saved by grace. Oh, wretched man I am. John Newton, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He had a revelation, that old slave trader, vulgar man. We want to have the same appreciation and esteem for this amazing love. Too good to be true. How to lose God in 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. You can't. You can't. You can't lose him. You may choose to reject him, but you can't lose him. He's not going away. He's here to stay. I was looking up that phrase, unfailing love. I've always loved that term because, again, words have to be qualified sometimes. Just like you talk about, you know, are you a Christian? Now you have to qualify that. Sometimes I think we ought to just rephrase it. Are you a follower of Jesus? How many of you know in the South, Christian can mean a lot of things, you know. And so, but I looked up that term, unfailing love, because love has so many connotations today, you see. Unfailing love. There were at least 40 references biblically to that phrase, unfailing love. Unfailing love. It will not quit. It will not stop. It'll pursue. It'll conquer. It will not wear down, regardless of how wacky we are, regardless of how goofy we are. And we can get goofy, can't we? I mean, that's just why we just love him. We just worship him. We wouldn't put up with us. He does. He sees us through the lens of Jesus. He's not tolerating us. He loves us. It's an amazing power and force that changes us. It heals us. It sustains us. We don't merely taste it at salvation and then go on our way. We taste it at salvation and we grow in that knowledge for the rest of our lives, even into eternity. God's unfailing love. We need to tell culture and ourselves, stop trying to break him. Stop trying to run him off. His love is bigger than our hurt. His love is bigger than our offense. His love is bigger than our rebellion and our pain. It's bigger than our disappointment. Don't allow that to be the all in all. He is bigger than our confusion. You see, his love allows us to rise above our injury, you see, where he defines us and not the issues of life. Even as a believer, you may feel, I feel so unlovely, or I feel unworthy. I've done this and that, and I'm a hopeless hypocrite. I'm disqualified for God. I'm unfit to be loved. Good news, the gospel. Romans 5:6, I love this, where Paul said, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless or unqualified, Christ died for the amazing, godly, impeccable, full of character and integrity, never tripped up once. No. He died for whom? The ungodly. I wouldn't do that. You probably wouldn't do that. That's what makes God God. At just the right time, when we were a mess, when we were jacked up, he said, I'm still here. I'm not going away. I'm here in a stubborn way. And his love bears down, his love bears down, his love bears down until it breaks us and melts us. And sometimes we're like, I don't want, and we buck it and we throw. It's almost like we tempt God to judge us. We tempt God to put us down due to pain. People do that all the time. Hurt, you know, when you look through life through the lens of a hurt, I dare you to reject me. It's like, I was just trying to ask you to lunch. Hey, you want to get coffee? Why does he want coffee? What'd I do? Why am I getting called to the principal's office? Just ready. It's like nobody's fighting. It's okay. I ain't got nothing but love up in here. It's like, but we do that with God. I'm sure you've had it. No, I hadn't even used barely a thimbleful of my love. Oceans of love. We judge ourselves by ourselves, and it's a poor reflection on who he is. He's just big. He eclipses it all. It's wonderful. This gospel is wonderful. This God whom we serve, not logical, too good to be true, as it were. The divine romance of a righteous guy, God pursuing an unrighteous man. How in the world would we say no to that? Why would we reject that? I remember as a campus minister years ago, I'd stand out on college campus and say, why in the world would you reject Jesus? He loves you so much. He's so for you. Cares so much for you. Why would anyone reject the man, Jesus? I mean, you look at what he's done. You look at who he was, what he modeled. You can't get him in anything. His life was perfect theology. What he said, how he lived. He donned himself in the garments of a servant. He was compassionate. He would tell his disciples, put away the sword when they were coming out to get him. They could have him for self-defense, but when they were, you know, when people were coming out and were striking them, he said, no, give them the other cheek. People always say, what about that Old Testament? And Jesus said, well, you heard it said eye for an eye, but I say to you, turn the other cheek. I say to you, forgive. I say to you, go the extra mile. I say to you, and he instituted a better covenant. You see, sometimes people try to take our Old Testament and make it equivalent with other world religions. Well, look at that. No. Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say, and he demonstrated a better way. Are we here? And he created a revolution of love. Just at the right time, when we were unqualified, Christ died for the ungodly. The New American Standard, for while we were still, what? Helpless. While we were still helpless. The Living Bible, when we were utterly helpless, with no way to escape. The King James, without strength. Romans 5, 6 through 8 in the Message reads, Christ arrives right on time. I love that. To make things happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready, but God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. I love that. It's like, there's nothing you can add to the equation. We don't need any hamburger helper here. It's Jesus, period. I've done it all. How to lose God in 10 days? You can't. You can't. You cannot lose his love. Now listen, you can reject it, but you can't lose it. There's a difference. You can reject it, but you can't lose it. God's love is toward even those that mock him, and certainly, obviously, to those who are in covenant with him and love him. Again, sometimes, though, in our pain, we dare God, so to speak, to reject us by our attitudes, but he doesn't. I mean, doesn't that just irritate you? You're just trying to push him, trying to push him, push the limits, just trying to push him. It's like you think you can get him, like, aha, I knew you weren't for me. That's coming out of a pain. That's coming out of a reject. That's coming out of a hurt, you see. We want justice and God doles out mercy. Listen, just because we had an earthly figure that was mean doesn't require God to be that way. Even though we try to project that and the things that have hurt us and bothered us, we superimpose that, you see, on the Lord. But God, through Jesus, he removes the criminality out of Christianity. He removes the punishment through Jesus and his cross, and he imputes righteousness, right standing by faith, faith in his blood and in his sacrifices, his love. He'll love the devil right out of us. He'll squeeze us so hard and hug us so hard until we break. It's because we're not used to it. We're like this. I don't believe it. I am God. It's interesting. Wanting to be loved, yet not feeling loved. People can dare God to reject them and others, but he won't take the dare. He won't give in. He just has too much love to share. You ever heard of someone described before as just an old love ball? Now, this doesn't discount his justice. He's thoroughly and truly just. There's no confusion there. But God is love. And we can outright reject him, but we can't push that love away. So why reject him? If you are an unbeliever, why doubt him if you are a believer? Romans 8, powerful text. You're familiar with it. And again, this is written to the church. There's a context of what I'm sharing for the unbelieving. And then there's also a context for those that are in the Lord. I mean, we have to convince culture that God loves them to win them, do we not? But we also likewise have to convince the church God loves them. Even those of us that are in God, we have to be convinced. And we have to stay with it. Romans 8. Here Paul said, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced, Paul said, convinced. This is not theory for me. I mean, he was the worst of sinners. We know that. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, Paul's saying, settle it. Settle it. You may push me back, but I'm going to run toward you. You may reject me, but I'm pursuing you. You may say no to me, but I am still coming after you. Nothing can separate us. It's our own condition, our own wounding. When we get to the point, we say, okay, I take it by faith. If you're an unbeliever, don't reject his love. If you are a believer, we don't overtly reject his love, but don't doubt his love. There's something for everyone here. If you're an unbeliever, don't reject it. If you're in Christ, don't doubt it. His love is going toward both camps. He's going to the unredeemed, and he's still trying to convince the redeemed. Wouldn't it be sad to live all of our Christian life not really knowing this great love of God? I mean, we experience everything in measures. We see through a glass darkly. But oh, for fullness. We're not going to totally have the full package till we go to be with him in glory. We understand that. We'll see him as he is. But we want as much of it as we can have to have as much heaven on earth while we can. You know, we don't want to be under some punitive system when he removed that. We don't want to berate and beat ourselves down when he died to remove that. And it's like, we get up to heaven and say, I could have had a V8. I could have had a fuller life. I could have had a fuller expression. Why was I so down on God? I was down on me. I was down on... We want right concepts of God to motivate. If you're an unbeliever, don't reject it. If you're a believer, don't doubt it. See the distinction. If someone doesn't want God, that's one thing, but it won't keep him from being himself. Because we reject God, it's not going to turn him into another entity. That's why these debates are so amazing. You find out what's really up in there when that vice grip. I mean, it's like, woo, where'd that come from? So if we're mean as a snake, God's not going to get insecure and be mean as a snake. He's just going to keep being God. You know, we can mock, we can spurn, we can fail. He's still going to love. Why? God is love. That's what he has, you see, to dispense. People can choose to live in an eternity separated from God if they want to. But our question is, why would you want to? With all this pardon, with all this freedom. In church, knowing the love of God, we persuade men. Knowing, therefore, this love, we persuade men. Doesn't mean we have all our act together. Doesn't mean we're perfect. No one ever said we were. But it's like, I've tasted enough to know it's real. You can have this. He's done too much. The testimony of the Lord is sure. I mean, good old John 3:16. You know, good old, that's why you see those at all the, you know, a lot of the football game. Good old John 3:16. It doesn't fail. Can reject him, but we can't lose his love. On this Valentine's Day, may his love eclipse everything. May his love rule the day and change hearts and change lives, our hearts, others' hearts. God's amazing. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be amazing. Stand on your feet, would you? Lord, we just receive by faith this knowledge, this love. Lord, we choose to doubt our doubts. Lord, as a house of believers and the redeemed, we grow in regards to this. We grow in our measure of understanding of your great care for us. Lord, we can't lose you. You refuse, Father, to go away. But Lord, you're bearing down, you're pursuing. Lord, you're loving, you're donning us with beauty. Lord, we're the apple of your eye. Lord, you are the great romantic. Lord, I pray the knowledge of that would heal. Let the knowledge of that forgive. Let the knowledge of that wash away the debris of the world and the injury and the pain and the wounding, oh God, that tries to define. We say no to that. God's love will define. You've removed the criminality and the punishment. We will not be a slave to punishment any longer. Stand there and let Him love on you for a moment. Just raise your hands to Him. Abba, Father, Papa. We've been adopted. Sons and daughters into the family. Grafted in by faith. Thank you for the spirit of adoption. Lord, that breaks illegitimacy. Confusion. Thank you for the spirit of adoption that transforms the human heart. Make us grandiose lovers. Grandiose lovers. Grandiose lovers, Lord, with that twinkle in our eye. Lord, though the world pushes on us, we're unmoved. Unmoved because we know that we know that we know what we know. Heal us. Fill us. Baptize us. Enmantle us. And may we be amazing carriers of the knowledge of the Lord and the glory of the Lord to a broken world. Even our world. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. We choose love. We choose love. We choose God. We choose God. Just in your heart, just say yes to the grace of God. Lord, I say yes. Will not fight you. Will not fight your grace. I will not fight your promises, your intention, your plan, your purpose. You know what you're doing. You're an amazing leader, a great shepherd, a healer, provider, protector, redeemer, and friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just declare healing in your bodies, healing in your soul, healing in your spirit. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord, don't leave. We would love the privilege of praying for you. This is the day of salvation. His love is coming after you. If you need prayer on any level, we'd love to pray for you. Have a great, great Valentine's Day. And we certainly love our families and those that we love on the human level. And that's an expression of our relationship with God. But nothing eclipses His Father heart towards us. He's amazing, is He not? Can we give Him a shout of praise today? Bless you, Lord. Come on. Bless you, God. Bless you, Lord. We thank you. For loving us first, we love you back. Praise God. Well, you're dismissed. Have a great, great day.